For the creation, we give thanks to our God, the Creator. For the lands on which we meet, we give thanks, and we honour the custodians of sacred stories and connections with the deep earth. Welcome to Church Online, a place where we virtually gather together. My name is Lynn, and I'll be sharing with you today. As we do each week, we light a candle to remind us of the presence of Christ as we gather together in this way. Today we finish NAIDOC week, but the theme of Heal Country lives on. The celebration of the history, culture and achievements of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples continues by all of us. There are some excellent interviews on Radio National, Reverend Mark Kickett, who works from the college here, and another by Reverend Dr. Auntie Denise Champion, the theologian in residence at the college, with Brooke Prentice from Common Grace. Both of these are worth a listen. Heal Country, heal our nation. The reconciliation continues. We come as we are to worship our God together. We are loved and forgiven, close to God's heart.
Today's Bible reading is Psalm 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it in the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust an idol or swear by a false god. They will receive the blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Saviour. Such is the generation for those who seek him, who will seek the face God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is the King of Glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is he, the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty, for he is the King of Glory. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Clean hands has taken a whole new meaning in this last year. Most of us clean our hands more than we used to, and although we might not be singing happy birthday as we do it, we do spend more time cleaning our hands than previously. We clean our hands in our going out and in our coming in. And then there's the sanitizer. It's everywhere. We go out and we can taste it when we eat. We smell it everywhere. We need it before eating, even communion, in our going out and our coming in. As children, we learn to clean our hands before eating and to clean our hands after coming in from outside or touching our pets. And some of these lessons we've relearned during COVID. Ignaz Semmelweis was a Hungarian doctor in the mid-1800s, and he believed that hand hygiene could prevent the spread of disease. At the time, people didn't know that germs caused disease, and hand washing wasn't considered important. Patients were dying at an alarming rate in the hospital where he worked in Vienna. He realized that the student doctors who worked on corpses during an anatomy class before beginning their rounds didn't wash their hands in between. So the bacteria from the corpses were routinely transmitted to the patients via the students' hands. So he insisted that his students wash their hands before treating the patients, and the death rate fell dramatically. His pleas to make hand washing a standard practice throughout the hospital were mostly laughed at, and it was another 50 years before the importance of hand washing as a preventative measure would be widely accepted by the medical profession. We hear this same message daily in our news from our leaders today. And yet, in Leviticus 15, we read about infection control, even that washing hands with water will help to stop the spread of infection. Fascinating. In fact, in Scripture, people wash their hands for three reasons: sanitation, separation, and sanctification. Sanitation was about infection control, like today. Separation, well, we still use that term today. I wash my hands of that. And we can think of Pilate washing his hands before the crowd saying, I'm innocent of this man's blood. The responsibility is yours. Sanctification is the act or process of being made holy. Often throughout Scripture, washing your hands is symbolic or purifying or sanctifying your heart and mind. The Jews were to wash with water whenever they went into the tabernacle to appear before the Lord. Washing with water symbolized spiritual cleansing, which was necessary to enter God's holy presence. And even in this psalm, we hear about clean hands. Today, we're pausing from the gospel readings in the lectionary to look at a psalm. It's something that's a delight to do together, and we should do from time to time. The Psalms are a collection of 150 different poems. Some are sung, but they all have the function of prayer. The Psalms are like a daily prayer guide, a prayer book, your prayer book, to read and to turn into a prayer, your prayer, my prayer. The Psalms are the language of prayer. Sometimes it's joy, sometimes it's lament, where we vent to God. We live confused. We're waiting the Messiah, but life is difficult. The Psalms give pride of place to our emotions in our prayer life. We pray through pain and grief and confusion. We ask questions in prayer. We worship in prayer and song. Tim Mackey from the Bible Project says that it's in the Psalms that we face the great contradiction. We say we believe, and so we gather weekly, believe that God is good, real, and present. And then we read the news, and we look at tragedy and horror of human history, and we reflect on our own experience of pain. And in the Psalms, we see how these two go together, and they give us a language to pray through this contradiction. We need to read the Psalms together with other Psalms. We can't just read one and then not read another. I encourage you to read a psalm every day, to see the rhythms, to hear the emotion, to pray the words. When we look at Scripture, It's helpful to look at the three worlds of the text: the world behind the text, the world in the text, and the world in front of the text. The world behind the text is the culture at the time, the context of the author and the intended recipients. It's author-centered. The world in the text is the actual used words, the syntax, the text that around it. What's happening? It's text-centered. And the world in front of the text is how it speaks to us today. What is God saying to us? What can we learn from it? It's reader-centered. Looking at the world behind the text, we know that this is a liturgical psalm for public worship, a liturgy for a festival of praise, celebrating the victory procession of the Lord into the sanctuary. Scholars believe that it became an integral part of temple worship and would have been used on many occasions. Looking at the world in the text, we remember that this psalm is directly after Psalm 23. The worshippers are reminded that the whole earth is God's. God calmed the chaotic seas at creation, brought order and light to the world. The worshippers are pilgrims walking to the temple to wait for God's presence. And they're questioned as to their right to enter the temple. And we can see some evidence of a dialogue here, different parts in this psalm, questions and responses. Could have been between the worshippers and the priests. The worshippers' part is to ask who could enter the sanctuary of the Lord. And it was the gatekeeper's part to answer with the standards set down in the law, perfect righteousness. The gates are personified for dramatic effect. They are open wide so that the King of Glory may enter. Who is the King of Glory? The response is the strong and mighty one, especially in battle. We all have battles in our lives at some point or another. Some of us are having battles right now. It is comforting to know that God is the King of Glory, the strong and mighty one, especially in battle. We are not alone. Psalm 24 is a psalm of worship, reminding that everything is God's, reminding us of rituals, reminding us of holiness, and pointing to Christ. We know that we're not the type of people who can enter the temple. You know, our hands, they commit harm. Our hearts aren't tuned to serve others. Our minds think false things, fake news. What's more, our mouths can lie. I wonder how aware the worshippers were in the psalm. They also weren't perfect as they walked towards God's presence, trusting God to bless them, to vindicate them and clear them of their guilt so they could see the Lord's face. And then we come to the world in front of the text. What does this psalm say to us today in our context, in our everyday lives? We have good news. We are vindicated by our faith in Jesus, not in our moral perfection. Jesus is the pilgrim, the worshipper that can stand in God's presence. His hands don't harm. His mouth never lies. His heart is pure. He has clean hands and a pure heart. Jesus defeats the enemies of death and separation and is the King of Glory. We enter the life of Christ. Our sin is eradicated, and so God sees us like Jesus, and nothing stops us from seeing God face to face. Our hearts are like the temple gates, flung open to proclaim to our weary souls that our battles are won. There's a picture here of the church warmly and eagerly welcoming the coming of Christ, awaiting the second coming. As we do. In Revelation 21:25, it says that on no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The gates will never be shut. This is the place of no mourning, no sadness, no pain, no fear, and the gates will never shut. We will see God's face to face, and there'll be no barrier. This is our hope. This is the hope that we hold to, look forward to, and live by. We're to have clean hands and a pure heart. You know, the sacrament of baptism is about washing our whole selves, either symbolically by water poured on us or by full immersion. We are washed clean and hence can seek the face of God. If you would not baptized and would like to be, please ring or email me. Clean hands is about guiltless action. Pure heart is about right attitude and motives. We don't believe the fake news about ourselves or others. We seek holiness as we seek God. And we fling wide the gates and invite God to enter our lives, to enter our story, to enter our hearts and our minds. In doing so, we enter the story of God. We participate in God's story in the world. And to help answer the question, who is he, the King of Glory? I invite you to read a psalm every day. Perhaps read a psalm with breakfast. Come to God with clean hands and a pure heart in your going out and in your coming in. Amen.
Earth in shadow, restlessly hold, labor's waiting in silent hope for the promise it longs to know what heaven holds. Then the angels in holy lift their anthem, your Savior lays in a manger, in humble form, your King is born. Hail the Prince of Heaven comes, angel choirs sound the call, for this babe wrapped in a cloth is the incarnate Word of God. All the kingdom and its power resting now in this child, Prince of Heaven, Jesus, hope of the world. This means mercy in fullest form, loving kindness forevermore. Son of David and Son of God, he is Christ the Lord. Here the Prince of Heaven comes, angel choirs sound the call, for this babe wrapped in a cloth is the incarnate Word of God. And the kingdom and its power will sing now this time, Prince of Heaven, Jesus, hope of the world. King of glory, we gladly greet, born in wonder and majesty, forever worthy, the earth will see. Prince of Heaven, we worship thee. King of glory, we gladly greet. Born in wonder, majesty, forever worthy, the earth will see. Prince of Heaven, we worship thee. This Prince of Peace, in light of mercy, confess our sin, lay our burdens at Jesus' feet, and with gladness sing.
Hail the Prince of Heaven comes, angel choirs sound the call, for this babe wrapped in a cloth is the incarnate Word of God, and the kingdom.
Let's pray together. Creator God, the earth is yours and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. We worship you. We praise you with the limits of our vocabulary. We adore you to the full capacity of our loving. We come as Jacob, in need of and seeking divine favor. Thank you that you give this freely, sanctifying us for your presence so that we might praise you with clean hands and a pure heart. Lord Jesus, King of glory and hope of the world, forgive us when our hearts don't have the right attitude or motives. Forgive us when our hands aren't clean. When we think we know it all, when our pride puffs us up, in light of your mercy, we confess our sin. Thank you that all our sins are forgiven and that we can lay our burdens at your feet. And Holy Spirit, help us to seek holiness and to fling wide the gates and to invite God into our everyday lives. And if there is anyone listening now that hasn't invited you in, I pray that they'll have the courage to do so and to know you face to face. Lord God, we pray for the whole creation. We pray that injustice would be dealt with, hunger would be fed, homeless would be sheltered, and that peace would come where there is war and division. Lord Jesus, we pray for New South Wales struggling with COVID at this time, for those anxious in lockdown, for those isolated from family and friends, for the elderly, for families that can't meet, for travellers stuck. And we continue to pray for the vaccine rollout to escalate quickly and that vaccine would be available for all, to all, across our world. We continue to pray for our farmers who are doing it tough. And we pray for those on school holidays, for teachers, staff and students. We pray for refreshment. Holy Spirit, we pray for those on our hearts today, friends, neighbours, family, work colleagues. And for those we've lifted to you, be with them, we pray. We dedicate our offerings and gifts to you. Receive our gifts and our willingness to be used for your glory, to share your love. We pray these prayers together in the name of Jesus, the one who lifts us from the miry clay and opens the way for the world to live again. Amen. Thank you for joining us. We hope this service has brought you hope and joy today. If you would like prayer, either press the prayer button if you're watching live or send us an email. We would love to pray with you. This week, fling wide the gates and invite God to enter your life, to enter your story. And in doing so, you enter the story of God. We participate in God's story in the world. Come to God with clean hands and a pure heart in your going out and in your coming in. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship, friendship and unity of the Holy Spirit be with you today and remain with you always as you serve God's world. Amen. Blessings on your week.
Come as you